Hey, Jordan.
Drew, how's it going, man?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. What's going on? I hear it's early where you are right now. What is it, 5:30?
It is 5:30, but, you know, I'm used to it by now, you know, after all these years.
I love it.
Yeah, man. It's still nice and warm out, so it's easy to get up in the morning.
It's still nice and warm out. I totally didn't think about that, guys. A complete opposite schedule. That's awesome, yeah. Man. Well, dude, thanks for getting on the phone. I appreciate it.
Man, I appreciate your time so much. I really, really do. I want to keep it like relatively short and sharp. You know, I know you're a busy guy, so I want to just ask a few big questions and sort of just see where the conversation goes.
I'm excited, man. Anything you ask, there's nothing that's off limits. Let's crush it.
Awesome. All right, so. Basically, I might give you a bit of context about me. So, I own a gym in Sydney here, and I'm almost a year old. And one of the big things that I focus the whole business on is like this. I call it the long-term game. And one of the big things that attracted me to you was you're so focused on the long term as well and steering clear of all these short term methods. That's massive in Australia at the moment. And like the big thing I wanted to know was like, how do you work around that with people and like get them to focus on the long term instead of the sexiness of the short term?
So with clients specifically, so like with people who like they want to lose fat and want to like get better health and fitness, how do I help them really understand the value of the long term?
Totally.
It's a really good question, and it's one of those things where it's really funny. So I don't know if funny is the right word. It's interesting to me, the psychology, the emotion, because very few people will ever really openly out loud say, yeah, no, I'm looking for a quick fix. Mm. Like very few people actually like consciously are aware of it. And so one of the things that I do with clients is when they're filling out an application form to work with me, one of the questions is, would you prefer maintainable progress that you can like slower, steady progress that you can maintain over the long or faster, more rapid progress that will be more difficult to maintain in the long term? And almost every single person says, I want to have more slower, maintainable progress. And then I say, why? Explain. And then they'll write, well, because I've tried the fast stuff before. I've like lost a lot of weight very quickly, but it always comes back and yada, yada, yada. And then within 2 to 4 weeks of working together, most people will say, I just don't know why I'm not making progress fast enough. And they'll go on a whole big rant and I'll be like, well, what do you want to do? Do you think your calories should be lower? Like, I think I should be eating less and I should be working out more. And I'll be like, why? Like, well, I want to make faster progress. And then I'll go to that form that they filled out and I'll screenshot their response to that specific answer. I'll be like, do you know who wrote this? And they'll be like, I know, like, good point. And, like, that's very deliberate on my part. Like, it's after years and years and years of doing the same thing because I used to have to write the answer out and like, I was tired of it. And I was like, you know what, I'm just going to let them answer their own question before they even know they're going to ask it. and basically, it's not easy, and everybody just wants faster. And from the perspective of logically, everybody knows that it should be a slower and steadier process, and that's going to be more maintainable. Everybody knows that, but emotionally in the moment, it's very hard to see the greater perspective. And it's probably one of the best benefits of having a coach is a good coach is going to call you on your shit and say, hey, you're being impatient. Like you need to relax. And the scale went up and you know that scale, like it's actually my Instagram post today. It was like, you know the scale is going to go up. You know it's going to fluctuate. You know you're not going to lose weight every day.
Yeah.
So if you don't stop getting upset when the scale fluctuates upward, then we're going to stop weighing yourself because this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so it's like really sort of like over time showing them enough and enough and enough that like you're being illogical and you're – I think one of the best quotes, like one of my best lessons ever was – if you are a person who lets your emotions dictate your actions, that's the ultimate sign of weakness. Mm. And informing them, letting them know you are getting so emotional about the speed or lack of speed of your progress that you're letting it dictate your actions to them. Time and again, don't work long term. And it's really, it's just the process of repetitive nature and really hammering that in.
Yeah, totally. It's such a perspective thing. I mean, in the Australian market, where at the moment, and probably for the last couple of years, we've been really buzzing on these like 4-week transformation things where it's like lose as much weight as you can in 4 weeks. And I think we're slowly starting to shift away from that because, as you said, like people realize that isn't the way forward, right? Like it isn't a healthy way to approach it. It isn't a sensible way to approach it. It's a really massive perspective just shift for people when like they come into a place like ours and you know, like we don't even have scales in the gym, and I do that deliberately because I want people to see progress in other ways. So I find it's a really interesting thing that's attacking our market at the moment. So I really appreciate that answer. Thank you, man.
Thank you, man. It was a great question.
So speaking of trends and stuff, what are you seeing what do you think is going to come next? Like not trends as in like the next fad diet, but I mean like where do you see the industry like moving towards in, you know, 2 years, in 5 years time?
Do you mean from the perspective of a coach or the perspective of a consumer?
Yeah, from us as coaches.
I think we've seen such a massive shift over the last years going like really – it used to just be all brick and mortar, one-on-one group coaching, and we've seen a massive shift towards online coaching and,
yep.
And to the point where the other day someone messaged me a young college kid being like, I want to be an Instagram coach like you. And I was like, hold on. Like, I'm not an Instagram coach. That doesn't exist. I coached for people for 10 years in person before I started an Instagram. So let's chill for a second. And I think it's going to get more and more and more online to the point where I think – because everyone right now wants to be an online coach. But what people don't realize is like as more – AR and VR, like virtual reality stuff, as that comes out, the industry is going to continue to change very rapidly, far beyond Facebook and Instagram and websites. It's going to go to literal virtual reality. And I think like to the point where I don't even know what that looks like yet, but I think in the next 5 to 7 years, that's what we're going to see.
It's going to be an insane shift that like I'm, you know, bracing for something insane to come next. It's going to be wild, but I'm always curious as to whether people are going to miss having that like physical human contact. Like I'm really curious about that. I'd love to see what actually happens off the back of that.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be, there's always going to be in-person coaching. There will always be one-on-one in-person coaching. Just because there's always going to be people who will want that. That's just always going to be a market. That market will not be as sizable as one-on-one coaching and as coaching becomes more affordable and more accessible in different forms via Instagram has or via online Skype or AR and VR will make it. But like there will always be that market for those who want it. And then what we'll do is as we do with everything, we're humans, we just continue to adapt and get better, is we'll make the process of online coaching and internet-based coaching where you might not actually physically be with someone, we'll continue to make it better and more effective and more efficient to the point where it's not like people are going to miss it because we're going to keep making it more streamlined and better in the way that we're doing it.
Yeah. I can't wait to see what comes next. There's going to be some big shifts, that's for sure. Who are your biggest mentors in the industry, man? Like who do you look up to? I think I read that you started out at Westside Barbell. Is that right?
Yeah. So I didn't start there, but I did train there. Louis invited me to train there when I was 21 years old. And he treated me like a son. He was like literally just an incredible guy. huge mentor of mine. Like literally he took me out to eat 2 times a day for 3 to 4 months and paid for every meal. Yeah, it was crazy, man. It was beyond lucky. Really just a tremendous guy. And I learned so much from him. I learned more from him in a couple months than I did in entire 4 years of college. Same thing with Eric Cressy. I learned, I trained with him, learned more from him in a couple months than I did in 4 years of college. And then, but I got my first personal training job when I was 14. And I interned at this gym and I was very lucky because it was, I didn't spend too much time on like the bro science, pseudoscience magazine stuff. I spent a lot more time from 14 years old, really learning the science from two coaches, Stacy Shadler and Kevin McCarthy. And they don't have a really big online presence. They still do the in-person stuff and they love it. And it's amazing. And they were probably my two biggest mentors from very early on, learning everything from like just basic strength to physiology, anatomy, like all that stuff. And then from there, I worked with Martin Birkin for a while and he was a big mentor of mine, and Alan Aragon. And just like, I've been incredibly fortunate and lucky to be taught by some of the brightest minds in the industry.
Yeah, that's an insane list of mentors to list. That's insane. What are the biggest things they've taught you? Like what do you take away? You know, you don't have to go through each individual, obviously, but like what are some of the big maybe consistencies that they've taught you, or, you know, what are the biggest things?
You know, a couple things. Number one is, I'll say there isn't a single right way to coach in terms of, there are many different ways to coach and many different ways to be a good coach. But in the same way that there's not one right way to write a training program, and there are many different ways to write a fantastic training program, but among all of the greatest training programs, there are certain principles that must be adhered to, like getting stronger, getting more conditioned, whatever, like getting more mobile, all this stuff. They all have like the same principles, and however you adjust those principles is fine, just as long as the principles are met. And as a coach, I think one of the most important things that I learned from them is there's many ways to do it, but and I'll say this, and most people will hear it but they won't really internalize it. As a coach, it's not about you. It's about your client.
Yeah.
And most coaches will, they'll hear that and they'll be like, well, yeah, of course. But most won't actually get what it means until something actually really big happens and they have a really big turning point in their career where like, oh my God, that's what that meant.
Yeah.
And I can say that solely based on looking on Instagram and all the coaches who want to be doing stuff and building an audience and building a presence and looking at how they think they should be building a presence on Instagram shows me that they tend to think more about them than they think about the client. And it's the biggest mistake you'll make.
Yeah, that's an amazing piece of advice. And it's luckily enough, one of my early mentors in the industry taught me something very similar. So I've been able to kind of work with that over the last, what's it been, 10 years now for me. Amazing piece of advice. And I hope a lot of younger trainers out there can start to understand that advice as well. Jordan, I'll work towards like letting you go. Just a couple more things. I'm really curious as to what's next for you. Like what's your next move? What are you doing next, man?
Man, I'll tell you, it's funny. I wrote about this somewhat recently where people are like, what's like your 5-year plan, or what's your, like, what do you want to do? And I have no idea. I have no clue. I haven't from the day I started, but I'll tell you the one major thing, it's because realistically, like, we can all have goals and ideas of where we want to be when like we're 30 and 40 and 50 and yada yada, but like they always change all the time, and as they should. But for me, the one goal of mine that's always kept me on track and I've never regretted is making my goal to help as many people as possible. And I know that sounds hokey. I'm like, oh, this guy's bullshit, that's ridiculous. It's like it's a goal by design. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. Like, for as a business owner and as a coach, like, obviously, like, you want to get paid for your time and you want to make money as a business owner. You want to be successful on that front. But every time my focus and goal has shifted to becoming more successful with money, not only has my business suffered, but my happiness has suffered. Like, everything has suffered when that has been my goal. But every time my goal has shifted to how can I help more people, everything's improved. I get happier. My clients get happier. My social media improves. Everything grows. So when I can focus more on helping more people, I don't know what I want to do with that other than I want to keep doing it, and then good stuff will happen.
Yeah, yeah. And you can, that radiates out. That's the impression that everyone gets when they see your content. So you're absolutely nailing it, man. And I love everything that you do. I'm such a big fan. So keep going, man. Keep going, because I love it and everyone else.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that a lot.
Last question, man. Last thing I want to ask you about. I'm a massive Gary Vee fan. And I just want to know, like, what's it like being a part of his life and being a part of his transition? And what have you learned from him?
It's crazy being a part of his life, and it's bonkers. It's completely, like, it's insane. Like, absolutely insane. He's an extraordinary guy, and he is exactly who you see online. Like, he is who he is, and he's not making shit up. A lot of people don't believe that that's who he is, but it's true. And that's probably the best lesson I've learned from him is being exactly who you are. It's funny because he always says, a lot of people say fame changes people, and he disagrees with that. He says fame doesn't change you. Fame just shows you who you really are. Mm. And I love that. And one of the things a lot of people struggle with in terms of, like, coaches is content creation. Well, what do I do? What do I say? Like, what am I supposed to write? In December of 2016, he challenged me to post 3 times a day every day on Instagram. And it was like, what? I was posting 4 or 5 times a week at that point, and he was like, I want you to post 3 times a day every day. I was like, well, I don't know what to say that much. And he was like, say that.
Mm.
I was like, what do you mean? He was like, be honest. Like, say what's in your head. Say how you're feeling. Say that. And it was a big transformative shift for my mindset, where I stopped trying to create an image and started just showing people who I am, and, like, while with the main goal of helping people. I want to say that because sometimes people hear show who you are and they think, oh, I'll take a selfie and talk about myself. It's like, no. It's like, to show people who you are, like, everybody knows I am obsessed with Harry Potter, and, like, I drink an entirely too much coffee, and, like, it's people know who I am through the way that I tell that stuff, but it's telling that stuff and showing my journey while providing value, talking about the stuff that I know best. So that was probably my biggest shift in terms of, I don't really have to try very hard to create content because everything's already created. I just have to show people. I have to get it out, and that's it. It's not like I'm sitting down deliberating. It's like, okay, cool. This is what's going on in my head now. This is what someone asked me. Now I'm going to put it on paper, and that's it. And that's, I'm going to show them who I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. It must be a massive buzz for you every day, like, having, you know, someone like that in your corner, you know, building not just your business, but just your life as well. You know, it must be pretty phenomenal.
Yeah. It's one of those things you don't really even fully understand until, like, I'm sure, like, I feel like I understand it now, but then in 10 years I'll look back and be like, shit, I didn't understand it at all. And it's like, you always learn better in hindsight. So it's incredible. And it's just in such a warp speed time zone right now, where, like, when I finally get out of it and I'll be able to, like, look back, I'll be like, holy shit, that was crazy.
Yeah, it's like a freight train that wasn't slowing down. That's what it's like from the outside. Last thing that I ask everyone that I speak to, you know, you're 90 and you're sitting back in a nursing home, and people are looking back at your life. What do you want them to see you as? How do you want to be, you know, what do you want your legacy to be?
I want people to know that they would describe me as the guy that no matter what happened, no matter how alone they might have felt, no matter how hopeless they might have felt, no matter what was going on in their life, they knew that if there was something that they needed, they could come to me and I would do my best to help them, whether it's point them in the right direction or just be someone to listen to them, just like to be there for people when they needed it most. So like, just there was no question that if someone needed something, I would be there for them, whatever capacity I could.
Amazing. Amazing. Jordan, thank you so much. As I said, man, I'm such a massive fan of everything that you do. And I was lucky enough to be, you know, one of your early followers, I suppose you could say, you know, before, you know, I guess you really blew up. I've just loved everything that you've done, your philosophy, your mindset, the way that you put content out. And obviously, like, you know, as you've just said, you know, your goal is to help as many people as possible. And I have so much respect for that, man. So I really, really appreciate your time. Yeah, man, I'm super stoked that I had this opportunity.
Drew, thank you, man. This has been a pleasure. I'm going to be honest. I'm incredibly jealous of your accent because I feel like it makes everything sound way cooler than the American accent. But seriously, man, thank you. Like, it's been a pleasure. If I can do anything to help you, don't ever hesitate to reach out and ask. And thank you, man. This has been great. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too, man. Appreciate it so much. Thank you so much.
All right, man. I'll talk to you soon.
See you, Jordan. Bye.